The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a great show for you. The 3 weeks are over. We're back to real music. We open up with a standard Israeli song, Zingarella, of course. For those who don't know, I'm Herschel Finman. This half hour of the show, we'll be featuring an interview with historian Professor Deborah Lipstadt. We'll be talking about the Munich Olympics and from 1972 and the ramifications thereof in 2012. We've been talking about this for weeks already. The portion of the week is the portion of Akev. It is found in chapter 7 and following in the book of Deuteronomy. We've got a great Hasidic story for you. Ooh, we want to save for the end for that. Lots of Jewish music, but before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. One PA Arab was killed and two others injured followed a work accident in Gaza City. The terrorists were riding in a car in the Hamas-ruled region when the vehicle blew up. Gaza terrorists attacked an Israeli army tank while soldiers opened a crossing to the central Gaza for the day. The terrorists fired an anti-tank missile at the IDF tank, which intercepted and destroyed the missile using a special defense system. That is so cool. No injuries were reported in the exchange. Israel security agency Shin Bet arrested Iyad Jamad Assad Juri of the Druze city of Majdal Shams, located adjacent to the Syrian border. He admitted to gathering information for Syrian intelligence and to transferring equipment that could be used for wiretapping to Syria. Top Nazi war crimes suspect Laszlo Shtari, who was accused of overseeing the deportation of thousands of Jews to their deaths during World War II, denied all allegations against him at a first hearing before prosecutors in Hungary on Tuesday. No formal charges have been filed against Shtari, who's 97, and he is now under house arrest. A neo-Nazi motorcycle gang created by an undercover law enforcement unit to investigate white supremacists and racist bikers has helped overthrow two domestic terrorism groups in Central Florida. The original investigation began in 2007 when an undisclosed agent traded emails with August Kreis, that's the guy's name, August Kreis III, a leader of the Iron Nation's hate group. 20 people were arrested on charges including conspiracy to make bombs and commit murder, drug dealing, illegal firearms possession, and conducting a paramilitary training to prepare for a race war. The U.S. has chosen Israel Aircraft Industries to develop a new radar system along the U.S.-Mexican border. The new system will be able to spot an individual from up to 10 miles away and vehicles from much further. Estimates of the cost of the system are in the hundreds of millions of dollars for the IAI. Israel is opening a new embassy in Albania, which is a Muslim-majority nation of NATO. Albania did not support the bid by the Palestinian Authority at the United Nations Security Council session to grant recognition of statehood and membership by the international body. Things are looking good over there. And my brother, Rabbi Yisrael Finman, is actually starting an Albanian kosher organization, believe it or not. Yes, indeedy. Israel will levy a special tax on junk food. 15% of Israelis are now considered obese, compared to 37% of Americans. Finland and Denmark already tax foods with high sugar levels. Austria has a similar tax on food with saturated fat. France taxes chocolate and candy. It's a good idea. We should do that over here. Let's make Doritos like $7 a bag. Israel won no medals at this year's Olympics. The last Israeli who was in contention got knocked out this week. It was Yaakov Tamarkin, who came in seventh. He actually made it to the finals of the men's 200-meter backstroke. And finally, and what did they find in Israel this week? The remains of thousands of Jews massacred by the Romans on the Temple Mount during the destruction of the Second Temple may have been uncovered by Israeli archaeologists. Close to 6,000 skeletal remains have been located using sonar technology. Most of the remains are believed to be women and children massacred by the Romans as they destroyed the Temple in Jerusalem. And that's the news. Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Professor Dr. Deborah Lipstadt, from Emory University, a noted historian and author. How are you today, Dr. Lipstadt?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for taking out time from your day and coming in and talking to us. We're talking about the Olympics, and there's been a whole tadadam about a moment of silence and how the Olympic Committee did not have a moment of silence, and there is nothing that's been done in 40 years to commemorate the massacre and in some way memorialize the massacre in Munich of the 11 athletes. So for people who are, raised in caves and don't know about it, let's give a background first about what is this, what we're talking about.
Okay. In 1972, at the Munich Olympics, 11 Israeli athletes were murdered by a faction of the PLO, Black September, who broke into the Olympic Village. Apparently they had inside help, but that I don't know, that's just come out, and that's really not relevant to the topic. They broke into the Olympic Village. They took them captive. They were all men. Immediately in the short period after their break-in, they shot two of them, both who were trying to resist. They held the rest captive, and then they demanded the release of some leaders of the Bader-Meinhof group, a terrorist group in Germany. Germany refused. They also demanded the release of terrorists in Israel who were being held in Israeli jails. Israel refused. They then demanded a plane to take them to Cairo. The Germans went along with this, so it was never going to take off. There was no plan for it to take off. And they helicoptered the captive athletes and the terrorists to a German airfield. And here's where things went terribly, terribly wrong. It was chaos. It was unprepared. The Germans had sharpshooters, snipers stationed who couldn't communicate one with the other, and they couldn't communicate with the leader of their group. There was a police group stationed on the plane whose job it was to ambush the athletes as they came on board. When they realized what they were instructed to do, they just walked off the job and said, "We don't go kill people." There was a personnel carrier, an armored personnel carrier, that was supposed to take part in the incident, and it got stuck in traffic around the airfield and took an hour to get there. So it was dark. They didn't have night vision. They couldn't see one another. The whole thing was just a plan poorly. It was a disaster. Now, as way of background, just to step back, and I should have mentioned this probably at the beginning, the Germans had wanted this to be the serene, the peaceful, the happy games, because this was the first time the games were being held in Germany since 1936. The Berlin Games were also called the Nazi Olympics. So this was supposed to be a contrast. Security was pretty low. Athletes would climb over the fence after a night of, cavorting in the town or whatever. And the Israelis had been nervous about security from the get-go, from the outset, and had asked to be placed in a different part of the village, and their concerns were not addressed by the Olympic organizers. So the whole thing was a real a disaster. I mean, not just, of course, it's a disaster that 11 athletes were killed, but the way it was executed. Now, to turn from the Germans' role to the IOC's role, the IOC kept competition going for approximately, I think it's 11 hours, or maybe a little less than that, after the incident began. So a few feet from where the athletes were being held, you have to excuse me, I just arrived in Aspen, and I'm getting off the bus, so I'm doing this in movement.
Okay.
Sounds in the background. The athletes were being held. Competition continued to go on, and it wasn't halted till late in the afternoon when they were protesting. They said, yeah, wait a minute, because this has got to stop. So competition was suspended for approximately 24 hours, and on the following day, I believe that was a Wednesday, there was a memorial service, a so-called memorial service. We are writing this, I probably put memorial service in quotation marks. And many people, it felt more like a pep rally than a memorial service. The Los Angeles Times sports writer described it as like dancing on the graves of the murdered athletes. Avery Brundage, who has more history in this. There's so many layers to it, like unpacking Lahavdil to differentiate a page of Talmud. Avery Brundage, who was the president of the International Olympic Committee, gave a speech in which he declared to tears, the games will go on. And he compared what had happened in Munich with the debate over, I think it was Rhodesia's participation in the games. You know, like this is a political issue that should never have been brought here. And many people were appalled by his behavior even then. The games went on. The games continued. And since then, for 40 years, International Olympic Committee, has refused to have any sort of commemoration organized either by the Israelis or by the families of the athletes. So the point was that the 40th year, there should be something. By the way, and I should mention this, there was a big push to have something on the 30th year, but it was they didn't go with that. And the 30th year was 2002, and your listeners should remember that was the Salt Lake City Olympics. Mm-hmm. And apparently, the head of the American Olympic Committee, who is a name that should be known to many people, former governor of Massachusetts, was one of the people strongly opposed to any sort of commemoration.
That was Mitt Romney was in charge of those games.
Correct.
Okay, for those of you tuning in, you're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Professor Deborah Lipstadt, who's a known historian author from Emory University, and we're talking about the Olympics and history with the massacre in 1972 and its ramifications now in 2012. Go ahead, Dr. Lipstadt.
So that's where it stood. And this year, a push began, organized by Mrs. Spitzer, the wife of one of the murdered athletes. I'm blocking on her first name. I should know it, but maybe someone in your end can bring it up. And it was a brilliant, brilliant idea. It's called Just 1 Minute. That's what we're asking for. We're not asking for a major commemoration. We're not asking for everything to stop. We're asking for 1 minute of silence. And if you do the math, the Olympics, I believe, are 17 days long. And 17 days times the number of minutes in a day comes to about 24,000 plus, so I think it's 24,700 minutes. So take 1 minute and give a minute of silence. And there was an online petition which garnered, I think, 110,000 signatures. To push, which was started by the Rockland County in New York through JCC, for this 1 minute. There were efforts by some students at a Catholic university, just 1 minute. And Jacques Roger, the president of the International Olympics Committee, strongly refused. Then to add insult to injury, on the day before the games, he held his own, quote, spontaneous and personal moment of silence in the athletes' village before 100 people. And suddenly people were saying, oh, well, that's the equivalent. Now that was like throwing a bone to a dog, you know, from the table. And there were some people who wanted to be satisfied with that, but most people still found it not only not satisfying, but insulting. Better he should have done nothing than that kind of quote-unquote spontaneous personal. If that's spontaneous, I have a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn.
Let me jump in over here, Professor Lipstadt. First of all, the Mrs. Spitzer's first name is Anka. And
yes, thank you, Anka Spitzer. Thank you. She deserves to have her full name.
Yeah. So let's see. Just from the obvious reasons of, like, we Jews have this persecution complex, and I'm playing devil's advocate, mm-hmm. besides just, like, blatant anti-Semitism, is there a place in the Olympic Games for memorials?
Well, it was proven during the opening when there was a memorial to the 52 people who were killed in the 7/7 bombing in London the day after the Games. And to other people who had died, including two American soldiers. If you're going to tell me the games are the opening things are a celebratory moment and we don't need that kind of thing, okay, but you have silence for another incident of people who their connection to the games is that they were killed on the day after the games were awarded to London. There was the announcement was made, I believe it was in Singapore, that London had gotten the games on the 6th of July, and on the 7th of July this took place. Now, I think it was perfectly proper and fitting to have that memorial. But if you're going to have one memorial, then don't tell me you can't have a memorial for athletes who were killed at the games as athletes, not in proximity to the games, not the day before the games, not on the way home from the games, not after having gone on a tour during the games, but inside the Olympic Village, and not just because they were Israelis, but not just because they were athletes, but they were Israeli Jewish athletes. That's why they were singled out. So the explanation that the opening of the games is the celebration and not the memorialization falls flat on its face.
Okay, so you're not buying the official IOC.
Not for me. And you made a mention before about Jews being victims. I have a reputation, and it sometimes has gotten me, some flack, but that's all right. I can handle it. Calling Jews to account who always see anti-Semitism, who always accuse incidents of anti-Semitism, when I don't believe that it is there. And the reason I calls that into question is primarily because I think it raises questions then about when there really is anti-Semitism. If you're like Chicken Little and it's always saying, dear me, the sky is falling, people won't listen to you when the sky is really falling. In this case, I am willing to say that it was a case of anti-Semitism, that the sentiment was, and I wrote this in Tablet magazine, people can see it, it's still online, I had two pieces in Tablet, that Jewish blood is cheap. And the second thing, of course, was I don't know whether it was an overt threat, a covert threat, or an overt threat by Arab/Muslim nations that they would boycott, that they would walk out. And at first, the thing that I thought might happen, in one of my more naive moments, but I thought there was a certain wisdom to this, wisdom to this for the Palestinians, that they should have said on the day before the games, we support this minute of silence. We are for peace. We do not want to see bloodshed. It's the other side that insists on having bloodshed. It's the other side that insists on this kind of behavior. Stealing the thunder and making themselves look like the good guys. Well, not only didn't that happen, but what did happen was the head of the Palestinian representative to the IOC thanked Roger for not having this racist, and that's a quote from his letter, racist moment of silence for the Munich, and it wasn't massacre, Munich operation. So there you see a very different kind of attitude.
Mm-hmm. What is I haven't heard. All this is coming from America and from Britain, the Jews in America, the Jews in Britain. What are the reactions of the Israelis? I haven't seen any of this.
The Israelis have been very plugged into this. And in fact, Danny Ayalon, who's with the foreign ministry, whose record is not so stellar in in strategic moves, has done some really silly things. But on this one, he was very supportive of the widows and the families. And there was, you know, Israel has some other more pressing concerns, but this was felt very strongly in Israel. And people were really insulted, under awe, I think as one newspaper put it, by Roger's, you know, so-called spontaneous minute of silence. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just Jews. There were lots of non-Jews who just didn't get it, who said, this is crazy, this is nuts. What's going on here? I mean, have 1 minute of silence. And then after they had the moment of silence for the victims of the 7/7 tragedy. Now, of course, many Americans didn't know about that moment of silence at the opening because NBC, in its great wisdom, broke away for a silly interview between Ryan Seacrest and Michael Phelps during that moment of silence because they said, well, it wasn't targeted to an American audience. I mean, idiocy. Whoever made that decision should be, you know, assigned to sweep the floors at 30 Rock. This was very broad. I haven't been involved in an issue which has gotten such broad support from outside the Jewish community that people just saw this as inexplicable. Now, there are some people who want to say the IOC just didn't think it through. I'd like to believe that, but I don't. I think they did think it through, and they thought it through, and they said, better to take some flack from Jews and their supporters and Israelis and the myriad or number of non-Jews who care about this than to risk hurting, insulting, upsetting Arabs and Muslim nations.
Right. What would have happened? Let me ask you this. What would have happened, let's do some speculation, had 40 Arab nations pulled out of the Games? Which I don't think it would have happened.
It would have been a big problem for the International Olympic Committee, but I don't think they were going to do that, and they would have looked terrible. They would have looked awful. I mean, like the Palestinian representatives look. I don't know. It might have been a problem, but, you know, if the Olympic Games are about competition and coming and doing, what is it, faster, higher, swifter, whatever it is, they're not. The Olympic Games are a commercial enterprise. They have had a fascisti basis for a long time. I have friends in London now who are having a wonderful time at the Games, and I'm glad. I'm glad they're going off well. I'm glad people are enjoying them. But let's not over-sentimentalize this operation. There was a push in 1936 for them not to go to Berlin, and the International Olympic Committee and the American Olympic Committee pushed back and said to the Jews, if you push for this, you're going to create anti-Semitism. In 1971, so that's the year before the Munich Olympics, Avery Brundage, who was then head of the IOC, in an interview said, I think the 1936 Games were one of the best organized games ever. And then he added, there, I've said it. You know, in other words, like, Jews be damned, you know. I've said, I know you'll have to say that on the radio.
My engineer didn't believe you, so you're okay.
Okay, I have said this terrible thing praising the 36 Games. It's one thing to praise the 36 Games in 37, in 36, in 37, in 38, but to praise them in 71? That's really, I mean, when you know what that regime that organized them and used them as a way of solidifying their standing and presenting a peaceful face to the world would go on to do not just to Jews but to millions of other people, and the chaos and the havoc and the tragedy they would let loose, to praise that and mm-hmm. say they were the best organized games, and there I've said it, you know, I'm so brave now,
right, exactly.
I've expressed that opinion, is just, it's revolting.
Let me ask you, Professor Lipstadt, Should the Israelis continue to participate in the Olympics, considering that since the State of Israel has been formed, I think the best they did was one silver once. They had a whole delegation, and Bai reported on the news that after the first week of competition at the Olympics, every single Israeli athlete has been like eliminated with no medals this year. And the amount of money and resources that have to go into it, and the Israelis know it's costly because there's stricter standards to get into the Israeli team to go into the Olympics than there is even imposed by the Olympics themselves because they don't have the resources for it.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely think they should participate. I can't make a judgment in terms of the finances and things like that, but seeing that delegation walk into the opening games and seeing the young man carrying the flag with a Jewish star, you know, cut into his haircut, you know, I'm sure you saw the picture. Yes, they absolutely should be there. It's not about win. It's not about medals. I mean, let's not get. I know in America we have on every day we have a count of medals. And China, there's a running ticker on the national television station. They're all national, but you know the official television station of how many medals. Absolutely, Israel should be there. It's bad enough that Israel is cut out of so many other things. It should never cut itself out of international competitions or international gatherings where it's welcome. No. I would feel very sad were Israel not to participate.
Okay. What's going to do it? Well, thank you so much, Professor Deborah Lipstadt.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Lipa has come out with a new CD, and it's pretty good. Yeah, it's, you know, good stuff, you know, Lipa people stuff, that kind of stuff. There is one song on it, which I would say is not necessarily a Jewish song specifically. I call it non-sectarian. It applies to everybody. It's about spending too much time on your cell phone. So let's just listen in.
Father seems so busy. My phone is going crazy. My hands are numb and frizzy. The gadgets make us lazy. We gotta take it easy. Oh, 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 can you hang up the phone? I didn't see you in ages. It seems to me contagious. You're going through some stages. The phone makes you outrageous. It locks you up in cages, unlike our surgery. Oh, 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 can you hang up the phone? Forever tries to choke us. It's making such a ruckus. We can barely focus. Loving and driving, eating, working, sleeping. Why keep on replying to all the rings and beeping? Oh, 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 can you hang on the phone? Oh, 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 can you hang on the phone? veel van mijn voeten. Hij had niet jouw computer. Want jeder kleine toeter in naaie toy zich boeter. Niet doen meer kan me niegen. Wie weet me vinden boeter. Oi, waar ik wou, like a ocean of fun. I'm going to a wedding. The entire hall is squawking. Everyone is phoning. To the wall I'm talking. My friends with his Bluetooth. When together we are walking. Hey, hello, please. Can you hang up that death phone? All the hocus pocus. Ever tries to choke us. It's making such a ruckus. We can barely focus. Davening, davening. And driving, eating, working, sleeping. Why keep on replying to all the rings and baby.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-1818. Hi.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We like to play klezmer music. It's one of the genre of Jewish music that when you think Jewish music, people really think klezmer music, of course. And this next week up in Safat in Israel, Ir HaKodesh, where my son Alex happens to be spending the summer, they have something called the Klez Fest. And they get in the streets of Safat. Safat is small. The entire Safat is, well, there's downtown Safat, which is called the Old City. That's probably about the size of, I'd say, Midtown Detroit, you know, downtown Ferndale, that type of area, downtown Birmingham. It's like a normal downtown size. So that's where they have the Klez Fest. They have then the area where people live around that whole area, which is probably about the size of Southfield. And they get 100,000 people for the Klez Fest. They come in there and it's just like, it's 3 days of nonstop klezmer music. It's like Woodstock for klezmer. You know, except they have enough porta potties. So this is absolutely wild. This is Daniel Hoffman, who's a Romanian, and he's playing a piece that's called Dim Dobregna, which is Romanian for klezmer violin. Let's just listen in.
Hello, this is Frank Lovasco with Lovasco Concrete Services. We specialize in driveways and patios. You can call me at 586-822-9985.
Do you find yourself at a point in life where you just can't seem to accomplish what you have set out to do? Have you accepted low energy, weight gain, and feeling overwhelmed as a part of your life? The ancient Ayurvedic method of well-being, combined with proven scientific methods of change, will make you feel energetic, focused, and fit. Hi, I'm Lisa Cohn, and I learned how to feel better close to 10 years ago. If you are ready to help yourself, you can count on me to be there for you in a simple approach to guide you to success. The holistic traditions of Ayurveda will show you how to prevent illness and strengthen your health with natural, simple lifestyle habits. You will feel empowered to manage not just your health, but also your life. Call me, Lisa Cohn, certified Ayurvedic health practitioner and health coach, at 248-613-1804, 613-1804, and visit my website at lisacohnayurveda.com.
Hey, Shel Fidman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Lisa Cohn, yeah, I'm feeling balanced already. Yes, good stuff. Give her a go. Choni is the newest star on the scene, rising star on the Jewish world scene. We're cutting edge here on The Jewish Hour. Just came out with a new single. This is called Lecha Anashira, To You I Sing. That's a capital Y on To You I Sing. Let's listen to Choni.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Hey, Rachel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. We're having lots of fun. I hope you're having fun, too. It's a beautiful Sunday today. The portion of the week is the portion of Akev. It can be found in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 7 and following. At the end of chapter 7, there are two verses that talk about the seriousness of idolatry. There is probably nothing more antithetical to Judaism than idolatry. I talk to various groups of non-Jewish people through the course of the year. One of them is I speak to groups of high school kids doing comparative and religion classes. So they call in Rabbi Finman to talk about Judaism. So I come in and I make this presentation. And I say, well, there's not really a whole lot to say about Judaism. I'd rather hear what you would like to ask about. But I say, just if you can just give a definition of Judaism. This is, let's say that you are a Martian. And you arrive in your spaceship from Mars, and you land, you get out, and you see me, and you say, I'm from Mars, and you say, what are you? And you say, I'm Jewish. And you say, well, what's Jewish? And I would respond, Jewish is a monotheistic religion that. So it's like given. There's one God. You have to believe in one God. There's only one God, no more, no less. That's Judaism. Anything else is not, unequivocally. There are laws concerning mixtures of forbidden things. Like, for example, you know, milk and meat can't get mixed in. Or, you know, pork. Okay, let's say you got some pork. Some lard. Yeah, you got some lard. Okay, and lard gets mixed into the chicken schmaltz, into, you know, the chicken fat. Okay. If there's 60 times, it's accidental, of course. If there's 60 times as much chicken fat as there is lard, then it's okay because it gets lost. It doesn't add any taste to it. It's null and void. It's like it's not even there. Okay. Let's say, however, you have one drop of wine, which was used in the libation of an idol, and that fell into accidentally a, what's the largest thing that we have? Those ships that carry oil, those big tankers, okay, that hold millions of gallons. And you have one drop of this wine, which was used on an idol's altar. The entire tankard is not kosher. That's the extent that it says, stay away from idols. And the verse says quite clearly, their images you shall burn with fire. You shall not desire their gold and silver and take it to you, lest you be involved in an abomination. That means we think the big deal over here. You got this idol, okay? The idol is nothing more than a statue. And it's made out of, let's say, this is an idol which is made out of pure gold. So what do you want to do? you're going to take this idol, which is made out of pure gold, you're going to melt it down, and you're going to make, say, a menorah out of it to use on Hanukkah. It would be forbidden to use it. There is absolutely nothing you could do with this gold. It has to be burnt to reduce to ash, incinerated. We in America aren't really too akin with the idea of idols, especially when you're talking like the way in the Bible, they had the, you know, the Baal worshippers and the Baal Peor worshippers and Isis and Osiris and all of the Roman deities and whatnot. Those are gone. But people still cling to their idols today. What are our idols today? Well, what's the definition of an idol? Is anything that we give power or dominion over us, something that we absolutely cannot live without. I'm not talking about like breathing, for example. I happen to enjoy breathing. I do it on a regular basis, at least 20 times a minute or so. My brain really, I'm addicted to oxygen, yes. But there are those things that we think that we absolutely have to have. Are things that motivate us to get out of bed to this is why I'm alive. Work, honor, glory, money. Fill in the blank. Coffee, yes. My engineer is pointing, yes. He wakes up in order to be able to drink coffee. Yeah, okay. It shouldn't be that way. I'm reminded of a story, which I'm not going to tell now. But anyway, sorry. We have to distance ourselves from such a mindset. And it really is for monotheists living in such an opulent society. We have idols thrown at us constantly. I walked in somebody's house. I don't have a television. I walked in somebody's house and they had one of these I don't even know what genre you would call this. It was like People Magazine on television. It was like, really, I like saw it for like 30 seconds, and in 30 seconds there was like six stories about all these people I have never heard of because I don't have a television, don't go to movies, and really don't care about. But the guy told me, he said, are you kidding? People are glued to these shows. That's why they're on television, of course. They get these big bucks, you know, with the producers and whatnot. It says in the Talmud we have to jettison these, in the Torah right here, jettison those and rely only on the Almighty. We have to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Are you looking for a dentist that can meet all your family's needs? Dr. Gary Cohen is a dentist that's been serving the community for 20 years. Bleaching, veneers, crowns, dentures, bridges, checkups, extractions, everything. He does it all. Dr. Cohen will see emergencies immediately and same-day appointments always available. Dr. Cohen wants dental care to be affordable. He has interest-free payment plans and takes most dental insurances, including Medicaid, for children. Dr. Gary Cohen provides the highest quality care with the gentlest touch in a relaxing setting. How do I know? Gary Cohen's my dentist. Call Gary Cohen today for a free consultation and smile that shines at 734-422-5480. That's 734-422-5480.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Hey, Herschel Finn here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Best absolute way to do it, www.rabbifinman.com. We're thinking about revamping the site. I've got in touch with a new webmaster who says, you know, we should really do something to it. He told me he doesn't want me to. It shouldn't be HTML. It should be something else. KC something. I don't know. I wrote him back saying, and he said, and then you could do all this. You don't even need a webmaster anymore. You just do it yourself. And I asked him to explain to me how I could do it myself. Not there yet, but There's it's still there. It's still up. It's still great. I love the website. You go to www.rabbifinman, you'll like it too. What else is there? You'll help. Did you miss any of Professor Lipstadt's wonderful interview? You can catch it there. It'll be archived Sunday afternoon. And if you're listening to this on the website, well, it's already been up archived already, of course. And we've got the last five shows. We have the U Parsha, the Hasidic U story. We got a new U story up this week. And the U Parsha, which are insights into the portion of the week, Hasidic stories, and the very important donation page. It is August, and by the graces of Salem Communication, they are letting us go on because we didn't pay for July yet. It was a very slow July. We appreciate the donations that came in, and we have them in escrow to pay for July. But it is, what's today? Today's the 9th already. We got to pay July in. I told them, listen, hey, another week, please. You must pay the rent. I can't pay the rent. You must pay the rent. You know, but they're not ready to tie me to a buzzsaw yet. But we need your help. Go to rabbifinman.com. Don't like doing that? Send a check or money order to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. The Arizal, the father of the Kabbalah, celebrated his Yahrzeit last week. And he was once teaching a group of his students. In the middle of the class, he just got very serious and he said, there is impending doom on the city. He lived in the city of Tzfat, where they're having that klezmer fest. He's buried there. My son goes to the Arizal mikveh, the ritual area bath, every day, 6 a.m. He goes there. It's a brook carved into the side of a mountain. He says the water is cold. Yes. And so he goes there, and he says sometimes they even actually clean the place. You know, it's a very popular space, you know, especially during Klezfest when it's like 100 degrees outside, so people go into the Rizal Mikveh to cool off. Anyway, so the Rizal got very serious and said, there's impending doom. We're going to be hit by locusts, and there's not going to be any food left to eat in the entire region. And he said, is there anything that we can do about it? And he said, yes. There's a water carrier who's beseeched the Almighty that no one is helping him. So they took a collection up and they sent one person there. And he saw that this guy is sitting on the floor crying. He's got no money. He says, what's the problem? His water jugs have all broken. He doesn't have money to buy water jugs so he can be a water carrier. So the man said, the representative from the Rizal said, we've taken a collection for you and we've taken upon yourself to take care of the needs of your family. Just please, if you have a problem, don't cry to God. Just always thank God for whatever good you have, because you're crying. You're such a good prayer that there was a terrible decree levied against the city. God does have mercy. So, like I say, I don't cry. I just say a little compassion on us, Almighty, and get those people to send in the checks and money orders. We're going to tune out. We graciously thank you for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you have a great week, and we hope to see you back again next week. Take care.